Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
Today, I want to talk about his commandment of love. Are you surprised? We've been talking about love for the last couple of months, and I just love what the pastors have been visiting on about love, and I want to continue on in that. John chapter 13, Jesus gave us under the new covenant in the New Testament a new commandment of love. John 13, verse 34 says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I've loved you, you should love each other. Jesus loved us, and he said, just as I have loved you, you're to love each other. Verse 35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Now, we're talking about a God kind of love here because there are people in our own families that sometimes are difficult to love. But don't you think Jesus understands that? We sign up to be in his family, and then we walk and act like we shouldn't walk and act. And I'm sure that Jesus at times goes, "I have every reason not to, but I choose to." And he says, that's how you're to love. You have every reason not to, but Jesus said, love the way I did. And I have to deal with all of you. I mean, that's what Jesus, I mean, really, Jesus says, love the way I do. Well, guess what? I know what I've done, and I know where I have not pleased him, and yet he still loves me. Therefore, I'm supposed to love like that. Where I haven't, somebody's backstabbed you, somebody's hurt you, blah, 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 blah. Jesus says, love them the way I love them. Love them the way I love you. And so that's a God kind of love we've been commanded to have for each other. We cannot love each other any more than the love that we've received from him. It's just important to know that. That's why in church you don't always see God's kind of love bestowed upon each other. Sad thing to say, but true. Even in church, there are times you won't see a God kind of love put on someone. Even though God's loved you and all your mess ups, you're not going to give it to somebody else. And here's why. Because you haven't received the love that he gave you. Well, I got saved. Okay, you received his gift. But my question is, you received his love. It's important to understand that. You can't love beyond the love you've already received if you're going to use a God kind of love. Yeah. The only way you can give a God kind of love is to have it. And so you have to receive it. John 13, verse 1, before the Passover celebration, that's where we're at right now, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. John 13, verse 4. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. I've got to speak just briefly, and then we'll move on and keep reading the rest of this. But that towel, and we'll get to it more, is referred to as a linen cloth when you look at the Greek and you understand what was written. That cloth was more than just a towel from your bathroom. It was a linen cloth. Let's now keep reading. Verse 6. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." Peter, you very important that you get this because I'm going to talk about this verse again at the end. You don't understand this right now, Peter. You don't get it, but someday you will. Verse 8, no, Peter protested. You're never going to ever wash my feet. And Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you don't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands, head, and well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has been bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew that there was one who would betray him. That's what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. When you are born again, church, and I just want to believe that I'm speaking to a bunch of people who have had a time that you were born again. Not the first birth. Obviously, everybody here has had a first birth experience, or you wouldn't be here. See, you've had the first birth. If you have been born again, the second birth is a birth that happens, and you understand that because you are saved from hell. You get your get out of hell free card. You get to go to heaven. And then you have options for how to live life. And you don't have to take them all, but here on planet Earth, you have a lot of options of how you can live life. So when you are born again, you're made as right in your spirit, man, as you will ever be. You're made holy, perfected. Your spirit man is exactly what Jesus paid for. You're an heir to the throne, a joint heir with Jesus. You're washed and you're clean. But how many of you know that are saved that there's still a part of you that's connected to this world? Well, I'm saved, I know, but you're not in heaven yet. You're still walking and having to deal with life here. That's why Jesus said foot washing is necessary. For those of you that have already been saved, that's a pause. And that's a pause because I wanted it to sink in for a second. Foot washing is necessary for those of you that are Jesus followers. For those who've already been saved, that's what we're talking about today. They've been washed clean, but they've been in contact with the world. You're clean, except for the part that's walked into the world, and it's like, ugh. I don't know if you ever feel like that after you leave church on Sunday, then go to work on Monday. Man, I'm like, woohoo, what a worse. And then you walk into work and you deal with somebody who claims Christianity, but in no way is operating based on what you know the word to say. And you've got to deal with them. I believe that there are a lot of people in our government office positions that claim Christianity but are not doing anything according to the word of God in their position. And so we as Christians have to walk in and deal with them. And we have other Christians that are in the political arena. And they walk in and they're like, I thought you said. Yeah. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying. We all understand that the washing of feet is necessary. John 13, verse 12. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and he sat down and he asks, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Now do as I have done to you. Once again, right before this, he said, now you don't understand this right now. So there's some things that are getting ready to take place that he was setting the, as Lord and teacher, he was setting them up for what they were going to operate in as soon as he had done what he needed to do to then allow us to have what he gave us. And I know that sounds very weird, but as we read further, you'll get what I'm talking about. Whose feet did Jesus wash? The disciples, the followers. And he set an example of what they would need to do for each other, the other disciples, the people that were saved that are in contact with the world, the people that were doing what God had asked, here's what you're going to have to do. To people that you go to church with, here's what you're going to have to do. You have to wash their feet. Well, who are they? People in church can be betrayers, they can be deniers, and they can be forsakers. And we shouldn't be surprised by that. He washed Judas's feet knowing that he would betray him. He washed Peter's feet knowing Peter would deny even knowing him. He knew all this on the front end. He washed the others knowing that they would forsake him. So Jesus followers, let me just tell you, that had to be an act of love. Because it wasn't an act that was done out of him seeing that they all deserved it. We don't deserve anything. We deserve hell. But God so loved us that we don't have that. And so what he's saying is, I'm trying to give you a tool, he's saying, that will help you to understand how to function with other Christian people. This is what you have to know. Jesus followers who have let you down, people who have betrayed you, who have denied even knowing you, who forsook. I mean, there's so much. How many of you know that we let people down? I have done it. I have done it. How many of you know we have hurt people? I have done it. Please take this off of me right now and put it on yourself. You've done it. And I'm not pointing a finger at nobody. I'm just saying, ask you. We all are kind of in this boat. We have failed. We may not have intended to, or we may have gotten the flesh. Come on, the spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. He washed their feet with the water of the word. All right, I need to talk about a couple of things that are here. Two elements in foot washing, water and a towel. Water and a towel. Water, he didn't just wash them, he wiped them off. He dried them. He used a towel. Linen has a very significance in the Bible. And it points to something that we need to understand. Jesus was doing something very important here. Peter didn't understand. Wash all of me. Jesus said, I don't need all of you. Part of you is clean, just the part that makes contact with the world. So he washed them with his righteousness. And then, after he washed their feet, he wiped them with a linen cloth. Let's explain this. We're going a little deeper here again. I like the depth of the word, but I just want to teach a little bit this morning. Leviticus 19, verse 19. Says, you shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with another kind. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed, nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you. Okay, this is for God's people. You cannot mix linen and wool. And at that time, you couldn't have a mixture on a priest's head of two threads. Talking to the Levitical tribe here, Ezekiel tells us why this is the case. In chapter 44 of Ezekiel, verse 17, when they enter the gateway to the inner court, the inner courtyard, they must wear only linen clothing. They must wear no wool. Can't wear any wool while on duty in the inner courtyard or in the temple itself. They must wear linen turbans and linen undergarments. They must not wear anything that would cause them to perspire. Everybody got it now? No. Why? Here's why. They were to rest in his presence and realize that the only reason that they could be there was his presence, not their work. Work, your work produces not what you're needing to be in the presence of God. They were there to minister out of the rest of the Spirit. Linen mixed with wool, a little bit of leaven, if you will. If mixed together, it defiled what God intended for his people. Why? Let's keep going. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. You've heard the marriage supper of the Lamb. Right now, church, we're the bride. And we're getting prepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. So what is our preparation like? It's resting in him. It's being where he needs to be. And you have to understand linen to know that that's part of the process of preparation You can't do anything in your works. You can only do it through your righteousness that Jesus made available. I'm going to keep going. The fine linen represents the righteousness of the saints. Now, linen is God's gift of righteousness. We just read that out of Leviticus, Ezekiel, Revelation. I've been studying this a lot. I've been spending some time here. We've been clothed in the righteousness of God. Oh, I like this. I'm way more excited than some of y'all's faces are right now. We've been clothed in the righteousness of God. And it's just because I've studied it, and I'm praying that the Lord would allow me to deliver this where it gets in and gets understood. See, wool is self-righteousness that is a stench to the nostrils of God. I'm not saying you can't wear wool. You've got to get the symbolic meaning behind what I'm talking about. See, the idea of when and if you sin, your conscience, it gets defiled. While God loves you when and if you sin, sin is still deadly. Come on, it's still dangerous. It yields us to Satan, and it gives him place in our life. A defeated enemy can have access only if you give it to him, and you give it to him when you don't understand the principles that I'm talking about. When you're not living in the righteousness of God. Sin not only hurts you, it hurts other people. God loves you in sin, and you can't get him to love you more or less because he is love, but it still affects our relationships. There are millions that have been saved and do not attend a regular fellowship. They don't read their Bible anymore. Well, how and why would that be the case when they said, Lord, I commit my life to you? Why would they not? But I'm not interested in reading anything you have to say, God. I'm just all excited about my entrance into heaven. But living by your mandates, nah. Why aren't they in church? Here's why. Unresolved sin. Well, I thought that was taken care of at the cross. It was for your spirit man. And spirit man is as right as it'll ever be. The linen that we wear in our spirit man is not defiled. My righteousness is a gift, and it doesn't disappear when I sin. I didn't get it by my works. I don't maintain it by my works. Let me say that again. I didn't get righteousness by my works, and I don't maintain it by my works. It is my righteousness that when I mess up, Jesus takes the linen towel and he wipes my conscience. Glory to God. Unless you won't let him wash your feet. And we wonder why people aren't in church. They're not letting their contact with the world. They're not letting Jesus do anything. If you don't learn how to let Jesus take the righteousness that you already are, you already possess, and allow him to wipe your feet, you'll quit walking with him in time. I'm just telling you, you will. And it'll all be because of how somebody treated you in the church. Woo! Go get your feet washed. Let the word of God come over you. And then let that linen towel take away that hurt, that pain, that shame of why you can't be in the presence of God anymore because you've got people in your way. You're just wearing cloth. You're wearing wool. You're wearing something that doesn't represent linen. I hope you're getting this. I'll keep talking about it until I get more head nods. From the shame that you're in, he wipes you clean from all the work you've been trying to do to get rid of the shame. People think, I'm not going to enter church again. I can't stand the way people treat me there. I've been church hurt. Okay, now I'm making fun of it. Because it just shows immaturity is what it shows. Wow. And it shows that you haven't sat down and let the Lord do what he did for the disciples, and you're saying you're one of them. Let him wash your feet and dry them off with the righteousness of the saints and get back to work. Yes. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. And he knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. Why are people not coming to God with bold confidence? Because they feel guilty. Now, guilt is covered in a lot of ways. Sometimes it's covered in pride. Sometimes it's covered in, well, they just are. It's in all of these thoughts that we are actually living by guilt, because we think we're right and they're wrong, and it's not about your righteousness, self-righteousness. It's not about that. It's about His righteousness. And every time you've got to prove yourself right, you can know you're just being self-righteous. I don't know if you ever find yourself in marriage just having to prove to your spouse, I'm right, you're wrong. That's self-righteousness. If we could just clothe ourselves in linen, then we would have the righteousness of God, and it don't matter. I'm just telling you, this made such a difference in my life, in my marriage, when I didn't have to prove how wrong Michelle was. Actually, I helped identify that I've got my own problems. Thank God for sending Jesus and putting me in right standing, not with her, but with Him. And then when I started living like that, then all of a sudden, she starts living like that. I see her living like that, and we can get along when we always want to be right. This would be great for a marriage class, but that's not what I'm talking about today. We have assurance with God that we can come to Him when and if we sin. If we don't allow Him to wash our feet and wipe our feet with His righteousness, then condemnation comes on us. And if we'll allow it, then condemnation leaves. We need to know when we fail and when we do, and we do, that Jesus can wash us with the water of His word, get us walking upright and clean again, wipe it off with the righteousness that is ours, the righteousness of the saints. And we need Jesus to do that on a daily basis. Because we're all in contact with the world. People mess up and they head out. People mess up and then someone else heads out. And it's all because we don't understand foot washing. And don't think that we're going to go and get a basin and start doing that in the physical, because that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. People mess up and they head out. If they just allow God to do what He said, I want to do, and we'd understand it. Pastor, I've just messed up so many times, you just don't understand. And I don't believe God can forgive me again. God doesn't ask us to do anything that He hasn't already set in motion. And how did He say to us when someone sins against us that we have to forgive them? How many times? 70 times. And that is not over a lifetime, that's a day. So 490 times a day. Whew. Thank God that's what He did for me. You can get your feet washed today. In fact, I think some of you are getting them washed right now. But just getting your foot washed and not letting Him dry it off with the linen towel, you've missed it. See, because you need not only your feet washed to get you clean again, but you need your conscience wiped. You need it cleared so you can go on the towel of the righteousness of the saints. I'm so glad when I mess up, He takes the righteousness that I already am, cleans me up, and then wipes me with no condemnation. He wipes away every part of me. See, all the things that's trying to come on me that came through my contact with the world, and He wipes that away and say, hey, wait, you're in good standing. You're in good standing. You have the righteousness of the saints of God. Yeah. That's who you have. That's what you have. I don't know if anybody realizes this, but there's a lot of wool in the church. A lot of self-righteousness. People being treated wrong. A lot of talking about people. It's like we forget that we were once really not that great ourselves. And we needed Jesus, and He cleaned us up. I want you to listen to this. Jesus said, you don't get it now, but you will. Simon Peter, in verse 36 of John 13, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, you can't go with me now, but you'll follow me later. You can't do what's getting ready to happen, Peter, but you can follow me later. You can't follow me. Where was he going? He was going to the cross. You can't go to the cross with him. That's what he was telling his followers. Only I can do that. He went alone. He bore our sins. He died your death. He buried him on your behalf. He was raised from the dead for you, amended to heaven, ascended to heaven. I'm talking about everything that was needed for you to be in right standing has been done. And he told us we can't go with him. But you can now. All right, listen. John 13, verse 37. Why can't I come now, Lord, he asked. I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to die for you. Jesus answered, die for me. I mean, can you imagine? Die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny three times that you even know me. All four writers of the gospel record the foot washing. It's obviously an important message to the church. The Lord said in verse 31 of Luke 22, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. What did Jesus say then in verse 32? But I have prayed for you. I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Did Jesus know everything on the front end? Absolutely. He knew everything was getting ready to take place. The devil himself asked for Simon. Now, here's what I want you to know. I don't know that the devil wants to take the time that it would be necessary to ask for every one of you. But he may. But he's got a legion. Now, he's not omnipresent, but he's got a bunch of people that are following him. And so they're all working on his behalf. And they're all trying to get you to mess up. And here's what Jesus said to his people, his followers. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. What did he pray? He prayed the same thing for Peter that he's praying for us. I'm praying that your faith doesn't fail. This is Jesus. He could have done anything, but he's saying, I'm praying that your faith won't fail. Your faith is an important part of this whole process. I'm praying that your faith don't fail. When we sin, what do? We fail. Jesus was telling Peter, when you fail, and you will, I'm praying that your faith won't fail. Your sin will cause you failure, but I'm praying that even though that happens, your faith won't fail. Do you see the difference? When you sin, you fail, but man, praying your faith don't fail. Because when you mess up, when you're in faith, you go back and you go, okay, I'm aware. I'm aware. I've failed many times. But every time I failed, I didn't lose faith. Yeah. And when your faith don't fail, then you're able to get back up and not head out. That way, you're able to head forward into what God... Yes. I'm not given a license for sin. And Jesus was not saying, don't worry, go do whatever you want and I'll wash your feet. That's not what he's saying. He's talking to the righteous people. The ones that were saved. The ones that had, he said, you're going to get this all later and we can get it now. And he said to him in Luke 22, verse 33, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster won't crow this day before you'll deny me three times. Before you'll deny three times. You don't even know me. You even know me. And Jesus is saying, I'm reading your mail. And Peter didn't even know he was. I'd never do that. Let's go back to what we talked about earlier. Jesus loved them to the end. Even though he knew he was going to fail him, he was still going to love him through the failure. And he's praying that his faith don't fail him in this process. In Luke 22, verse 32, when you have returned to me, when you have returned to me, Jesus knew Peter would return in advance. Jesus could see our sin, our mistakes in advance, and he made a provision at the cross. Why? So that 2,000 years later, you could return. He can speak past our mistakes into our destiny, into our purpose, and assure that God has never failed us and won't. Just don't let your faith fail you. Come on, are you getting this? Don't let your faith fail you. Stay faithful to the kingdom of God, even when you mess up. Well, how do you do that? You let him wash your feet, and then you get your conscience cleared with the linen cloth. John chapter 21, Jesus is on the shore. And I'm not going to go back and read all of this, but I had to read some of it because it's very important. Jesus on the shore, and he looks out and they're fishing. Michelle and I have stood right on the shore that they say where this took place, where Jesus was on the shore and he sees them out fishing. He's already now done everything that needed to be done to restore us to right standing. He's done everything that needed to take place. Jesus on the shore and they're fishing. Jesus hollered out, "Hey, you caught anything?" Have you ever been fishing and someone yells that to you? Yeah. It's fine if you have. But if you haven't, you're like, we just started. We just started. Have you caught anything? And they said, no. You know what he says? He goes, "Hey, cast your nets on the other side and you will." And all of a sudden, Peter's like, that's Jesus. I remember that already happened. Remember the last time? Guys, and so they get in. I mean, they throw them out. And of course, the nets are breaking. It's all awesome. They get up to shore because they got to get up there. They know Jesus is up there. And so they get up there, and Jesus has breakfast ready. What's he have? Fish. Not the fish they just caught. He already had fish there. And I just think of that story because I remember them talking about it on the shore. What'd Jesus do to get fish when he hadn't even been out there? Well, who knows if he'd been out there fishing, whatever, but it's Jesus. He could have said, "Hey, fish, jump in here. I need you in the frying pan real quick." This is Jesus. He's already paid for everything. And so he has fish ready for him. And they're up on the shore. And John 21, verse 15. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Hey, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Why is Jesus asking him? Have you ever thought about this? A lot of stories here. Jesus asked him three times publicly if he loved him. Why? Because he had denied him three times publicly. And it defiled his conscience. Peter was having to deal with this, and what he needed was his feet washed. See, Jesus was washing his feet publicly. Well, I hope this is sinking in for some of you. The denying of him publicly defiled the conscience of Peter. The confessing, "I love you," publicly purged his conscience. Jesus wiped his conscience with the linen towel of righteousness. Wow. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. He was saying, "You are washed." And Peter let him wash his feet. Don't think that Jesus was saying, "Hey, I've changed my mind." No, he's washed him. Peter didn't know what was happening before, but now he knew. You're not going to understand this right now, but you'll get, now he knew. Now he knew. That's my prayer, is that maybe you didn't understand all that before, but now you know. See, we get touched by the dirt of this world and the sin and the guilt that comes with it and the things that happen. Sometimes it wasn't your sin, somebody else's, and you're just feeling dirty. And 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to wash them, to clean us from all unrighteousness. What part is he washing? The part that's in contact with the world. We need to learn to wash one another's feet. And I just got to say, if you have been hurt in church today, will you let Jesus wash your feet? Come on, the word of God just went out for you. Nobody's making fun of you. Bless your heart. But I don't identify with that anymore. I don't ever walk into church. I'm not going to live in that hurt every day. Now, I'm not saying that when someone leaves and stabs me that it doesn't hurt. But I run as quick as I can to get my feet washed and get that linen cloth out. I need your righteousness right now. Come on, we can't live letting the enemy have a place. Giving him a place is not going to work out for your benefit. Ever. I'm going to be merciful to people because God's merciful to me. If you're here today and never been washed by the blood of the Lamb, He just requires you to have faith in Him. And then He's going to pray for you every day that you don't lose your faith. Stay strong in your faith. Stay bold in your faith. That doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. But don't let your faith falter, because if you do, then you won't have enough faith to walk back in the doors and get equipped by the gifts that God gave the church. It's important. And this isn't a message about church. It's a message about healing, so that then church can happen and the bride can get ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's coming. He's coming back to get His people. Do you want to look like you're a part of the bride, or do you want to act like you're just out here on your own? The bride hurt me so bad. Hello, He's coming back for the bride. We got to get to a place where we're not living defeated. There's a lot more nodding now. Maybe today as the word went out, because as the word goes out and you receive it, your feet get washed. You get cleaned up. So now, can you let Him dry you off with the linen cloth and get past your past? Can you just allow Him to let you live past your past? I have hurt people out here, and my apologies will never, ever satisfy your need. The righteousness of God satisfies your need. Okay, so that's my confession. That needs to be yours. I love You, Lord. That was Peter. And I lift my voice to worship You. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what You hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. He's just wanting you to say, I love You. He's wanting you to tell Him, I love You, Lord. I love You, Lord. And then all of a sudden, all this public stuff of denial, the shame that's over you, that linen cloth just comes and says, okay. You can get after it again. You have my righteousness. But I just messed up last night, Pastor. Okay, I understand that. Peter had just denied Him three times, and then he's on the shore making Him breakfast, making Peter breakfast. He's not far away. He's wanting you. And if you're here today and hear this message, let it be impactful and live different, because He's washed your feet and then He's wiped them. Live different. Live like you've had your feet washed. And then you can go to work tomorrow morning, and when someone gets them dirty, just find some time. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me, and I know that was one, and it's not going to prosper in my life. So you just start claiming the word again, get your feet washed, get that linen cloth, now you're in right standing again, and walk out of there and love them again. You're not leaving them where they're at. You're not leaving yourself where you're at.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.